who's doing the intro?
You are.
All right. You pick the topic.
I got the topic.
I'll do the intro.
Okay.
All right. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio, on the corner of Trash View and Nada Vista. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Diana? Is it working, Diana? Can you feel it, Diana?
I'm tingling.
Diana and names of other hosts. That's what
totally
it says on the script. Read names of other hosts. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And Diana was having a little bit of problem with her computer console, with her talking console before the show. So I have something pulled up in case she gets droned. I'm going to just start reading from my novel, A User's Manual. No, not that. That's not a novel. It's a self-help book. From my novel, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, which is going to be hard to find a radio friendly version of it. It's a novel I wrote in the year 2000, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, and it's basically it's, you know, exaggerated version of my life, and I die on the first page. So it's about but it's me as a guy named Cash Newman, who I've discussed before on here. Cash Newman is with me tonight. I'm
hey,
Cash Newman
up?
Is
What's
my co-pilot.
Newman.
Newman. So I'm working on coming out with a Kindle version of that. I'm republishing all my old stuff and writing something new right now. I'm writing another kind of I hate the word self-help. A self-harm book? No.
No.
let's see. A book. I don't do self-harm. A mental self-harm book? No. There's a new word for self-help. It's self-improvement. The category. Self-improvement and time management. Yeah, it's for
getting woke
and
get
then
woke AF.
Figuring out what to do after you get woke with your life. That's a nice way of putting it. So you've read User's Manual for the Human Experience, right?
I have.
Have you reviewed it on Amazon?
I have not reviewed it on Amazon, but I should and I will.
Will you write that down on your list of things to do for Michael Dean, please?
Sure, I will. I want to read your revised version as well.
Yeah. It's not that much different. It's just better. It's just better, and it's on Kindle. It's never been on Kindle. I'm a real late adopter to getting my stuff with Kindle. I actually started writing Starving the Company of Beautiful Women in about 1998. I was writing it while I was on tour with my band Bomb. I got a dictaphone, you know, one of those little tiny pocket tape recorders that you use for dictation.
Yeah.
Had it in my pocket. Meanwhile, hey, when did you work at Dictaphone, honey? From 87 to the 90s? Yeah, so she was probably working there then. She has a funny
dictaphone.
Yeah. She has a really funny, not that funny, but a story about actually seeing the gun in the room, the government gun in the room. You know, we talk about how every law is backed by the threat of a gun, and there's an invisible gun in the room, even when there's not. So one time she had, was that guy a sheriff, DJ? Postal police. So she was giving a demonstration of, you know, the latest technology from Dictaphone in person. You know, that's part of her job, was going around and meeting with executives and people that would, back then, like, a Dictaphone system was, you know, before they had the little handheld thing, they had, like, expensive recording devices, and then they had playback devices that had a foot pedal, so the secretary, but this is back before people did their own typing, they had a lady do the typing for them, a secretary. And you know, they would dictate, they were dictators, they would tell people what to do, take a letter. And you know, the lady would take a letter, and
like a Mad Men.
Yeah, like on Mad Men, but I think there's actually some early dictaphones in Mad Men. So it's, you know, when the secretary, when they recorded something on Like, if the secretary wasn't there, if she was busy, the executive would record into a dictaphone machine, and then later the secretary would type it all out. And, you know, if it was a, you know, letter to so-and-so or a memo to all the employees or whatever, she'd send it out. And there was a foot pedal to stop and start it, so she could, you know, type some, then stop it, then start it, and type, transcribe like that. So, DJ was doing a demonstration like that for a postal inspector cop, you know, like kind of a high level guy in the post office. The, you know, a lot of people don't know this. There are actually like 15 or 16, I think there's more now post 9/11, but there were at one point, I remember 15 or 16 organizations of police in America that had the power to arrest. And one of them is the postal inspector. So, you know, she goes in to set up and give her cheery demonstration of this, you know, thing that they've asked her to come do. And the guy pulls his gun out of his hidden holster and puts it on the table and says, "All right, how long is this going to take?"
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my God.
And she said, "It'll go a lot quicker if you put that away," which I think was an awesome answer.
Good for
and this
her.
Is before she was into guns, and she wasn't really intimidated by it and was just like, you know, "Put that away and it'll go quicker." Like, he was literally, that's literally saying, "I'm going to shoot you if you don't hurry up."
Right.
You know, that's the implication.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if a citizen did that, they'd go to jail. I mean, that would be brandishing,
absolutely,
for sure. But, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Your average plebe.
Yeah. So, anyway, I had a dictaphone on tour that I bought in a pawn shop on tour with Bomb. We used to go into pawn shops sometimes on tour, and, you know, in different cities when we had some time off. Because a lot of times the place where the punk rock bands play is in the same neighborhood that has the pawn shops in a lot of towns back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I bought one of those for, I don't know, I think it was $10 back then. And I started recording, and I got a bunch of those little tiny cassette tapes for it. And I was recording my novel. I was dictating my novel. And then when the band broke up and I was strung out on dope, I started transcribing it. I got a computer. This was like in 19, I think the band was still together. It was in 1991. I got a, you know, a DOS computer that could, you know, type DOS only. It had the 7-inch floppy disks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I transcribed a bunch of that.
On the floppy,
on one, and then, No, this one had the operating system in the computer, but I remember it had, the computer had, like, 500K of RAM or something like that, you know, less than a megabyte. And I had a hard drive, but I remember transcribing that, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and I was like, "This is a novel I'm writing. This is really important." And she was, I kind of made her my secretary, and I said that if I got her to promise if I died, she'd finish the novel for me in my style and get it published. Which is absurd, and actually it'd be a lot easier now because you could have the document in Google Docs, she could have the password to it, or be, you know, one of the people allowed to view it and edit it on Google Docs, and if you died, she could, you know, just upload it to Kindle and publish it right there.
Right.
But this is back when, like, you know, in the year 1995 or something, I mean, you had to get a publisher, but pretty much. So I finally, you know, after I got sober, I put it together into a book, although it's really all sex and drugs and rock and roll and, you know, Cash Newman, women and drugs were his playthings. And, you know, he women were like, you know, he went through them like socks, which is to say he changed them every 2 weeks. So,
wow.
So that book, in the year 2000, I published that book. After I got sober, I edited it into a readable book and put it out. And this is before, you know, you could publish paperbacks on demand. I, like, got a bootleg copy of Quark and did the page layout and took it to a printer and paid them $4,000 to print 1,000 copies of it. There's money I made from working as a temp in offices. So that book's out, and it's like, and I sold about 500 of them and, like, gave 500 away or traded them for other people's books or records. And that's so out of print. I mean, it's been out of print since, like, 2001. I mean, it's still listed on Amazon, but I'm going to publish a, you know, I'm going to put out a Kindle version of it pretty soon here.
Cool.
And it's going to be nifty. Yeah. Yeah, and people will be able to get it. So, User's Manual for the Human Experience is out on Kindle, finally. And that's the book that everyone says changed their life. Actually, Mark Edge, did a blurb for it, and I updated it. So it says on the back of the book now, actually, that, yeah, I'll find that sooner or later and read it. Oh, here it is. Mark Edge, radio host, Free Talk Live, says, Michael Dean's book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, his book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your surroundings walking down the street to business to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you are a human, you need to read this book at least once.
If you are a human. That's good.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's a wide category of potential readers, if you are a human.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
there's quite a few of those that
so I have a request. I have a request for people who like this show or like any of the stuff that we produce or I produce. Go review it, because I've realized we have so many more listeners than people who've actually reviewed, and it really helps the review to review it. Like, you know, review the Freedom Fiends on iTunes. Review the Freedom Fiends app on iTunes or on the Google Play Store. You know, review the Kindle books, review our apps, review any of the stuff that we put out. It really helps. And a lot of people write me these long, glowing emails about how great the stuff I do is. And, you know, that's nice to hear, but I know it's great. But there's other people that don't know it's great. So I'm asking people to share things on your social networks and tell two friends by email, and then review them. It really helps. Review it and then send me the link. That would help me a lot more than telling it to me. So,
yeah,
please do that.
Speaking of iTunes and the app and everything, you sent me an email earlier about installs of the Freedom Reeducation Camp app in China on iPhone.
Oh,
and everything.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's the stats are really weird on the iTunes app. The Android app has more users. Android has more users. But so altogether, there's 200 and some installs of the Fiends iPhone app called Freedom Reeducation Camp. And there's 170 in America. There's only in three countries. There's 170 in America. There's 61 in China. And there's 6 in Lebanon. Those have got to be the weirdest demographics I've ever seen. And those last two are like pretty unfree countries, meow, where, you know, I don't know if it's a crime to have the Fiends app, but it's not recommended.
Yeah, probably.
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Step away for just a moment, but while we're waiting for Michael, I am going to cover one of the topics that we were going to discuss tonight, and it has to do with basically scammers using fear, fear that people already have of the state.
Yeah.
You know,
the
state. I'm talking. Look, I'm handling it here.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was just talking about that IRS scam, which...
I broke my USB port. Okay. I fell and tripped, and it broke the USB port on my computer. Like, it's all floppy inside. So, hashtag please donate to buy me a new USB port. No, I'm kidding. There's four other ones, but usually I have them all used. I'm going to have to unplug and plug things now. Meh.
That's a bummer.
Cats. I was trying not to fall on a cat. Like, yeah, I was in danger of being tripped by a cat, and it ran, and then it zigzagged, and I sort of jumped around it while I was walking. Yeah. Still had the headphones on.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, they try to kill you.
Under your feet.
So they can eat you. Yeah. And then I tripped and I like broke my fall on my hands. They kind of hurt now. But it twisted where the USB drive where the microphone plugs into the computer. It didn't twist the male, it twisted the female. So the female hole on my computer is all broken now.
Oh no.
But yeah. It kind of blows, but
yeah,
there's more. That's why God gave us more USB ports. Okay, so go on. What happened?
Yeah, so I was reading about this, the article that you sent about IRS scammers, and I'm just basically talking about this the other day, that I've gotten several calls from a number in New York, and I actually looked it up and obviously didn't answer, nor did I call it back. But basically saying that the IRS has 4 allegations against me, and that if I did not reply or if I had something, blah, 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 the cops, the local cops will come and arrest you.
There's so many things wrong with that.
Really? I know, exactly. And
they have their own cops. First of all, like one of the lessons here is when you get a weird call, Google the number, because
exactly, yeah,
that's pretty much any scam that's had more than 3 people call it or more than 10 people called from it. Mm-hmm. There's a report about it somewhere online.
Right.
And
yeah.
Oh, I actually have one that's really funny. Maybe I'll post this image. I got a weird call the other day from, and it was just a long message with no one talking. I could kind of hear people in the background talking. I think it was like, you know, someone misdialed a number, but it was in my town and it was even like the first 3 digits of it. So it's like the same part of town or the same, I don't know. I don't know if cell phones work that way, but it was definitely a number issued in my town.
Right.
And I looked it up and, you know, there was no reports on it. It was not a known scamming number, but there was a known, you know, it showed up on Spokio. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
It's the stalker's dream website. You can have yourself removed from that, too. I've done that. And if you don't want your number being on there, they'll remove it. But people can Google themselves and find, like, you know, or find someone else's, like, address, pretty much, from that. Right. A lot of times. Sometimes it's wrong. But for this number, it just said, you know, it had the name of the person. It's like not someone I know. So I just blocked the number and then moved on. But it says, fun facts, statistics of the owner of this number. And it says, the fun fact is that our ethnicity indicates that this area is 100% Caucasian.
Okay. Oh my goodness!
Like, all right, Spokio. That's racist, right. Spokio. I just think it's funny that that's a
clearly
fun
Spokio
fact.
Doesn't know that you're actually part black.
Yeah, they don't. That's true. That's true. Yeah, I don't think it's. I mean, there's probably a Native American person living in that neighborhood. Who knows?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is when the IRS calls, when you owe the IRS money. I helped a friend who owed money to the IRS. Like, basically, you know, people are going to say I'm a bad anarchist because I helped someone figure out how to pay their taxes so that the person wouldn't lose their home. You know, because pretty much if you own anything and you owe money to the IRS, eventually they're going to take what you own and they can just do it easily. And they don't send the local or state police to your house. Generally what they do, and they don't call you after basically they send registered letters, you know, to make sure you sign for it. And they do that until they get a hold of you. And they don't really turn it over to collection agencies, especially after 2 calls. They eventually they would just send something that says, you know, we're putting a lien on your house or we're garnishing your wages at work.
Right.
And if you have neither of those things, you know, you probably just would never be able to get credit. I mean, if you owed enough, they might send their goons over to talk to you, but they're not going to call you on the phone.
Yeah.
But people are afraid of the government gun, so scammers
really
just steal the government gun, man. We'll be back to talk about the government gun and people who steal it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only Voluntarist Media University. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
You know what's funny too? Different ads play in different cities at some of the points. So that might have been like, you know, an ad for something really horrible in some town and you came on going, do it now. Yeah. Probably not though. Because all the advertisers are wonderful on radio.
That's right.
At least this network. Isn't that true?
Yes,
haven't you
that
heard
is
that?
Very true.
It's got to be true.
Very, very grateful.
Because they've
for
got us.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, my life is weird. By the way, my life is weird and good and weird. I feel like I'm tripping most of the time, but I'm not. I was insane for several years. It sucked. And the word insanity is bandied about in song. Like it's a goal. As if insanity were a positive attribute. Let's go crazy. It was cool, man. I was out of my mind. But if you've ever really been out of control of your faculties, you know it's a drag. It used to be that all my heroes were do-or-die rockers. Then the last one put a shotgun in his mouth and sprayed pretty blonde brains all over the room. About a month later, I started to find new heroes. You haven't heard of most of my heroes. They're just common folks who quietly have their stuff together and are all about putting good into the world. Most of them have an edge, though. I adore these kick-ass rock and roll subtle angels. I can't read the rest of this because it's not radio-friendly, but I just started reading from a user's manual for... Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, are you just talking or are you reading from something?
Yeah. Well, I have been told many times that I write the way people talk, so...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we talked about that. I think we talked about that the last Sunday night. We talked about writing conversationally how a lot of, I guess, copy editors or whatever don't like that necessarily.
Mess it up.
Yeah. But before the break, we were talking about this IRS scamming.
Oh.
What?
So we're going to do three things about IRS. Remind me when we get to Bitcoin to talk about the 12 magic words.
Oh, yeah. I'm so curious.
Because you said you really liked the sound
of
that. Yeah. Yeah. Don't die. Okay. We'll get there. All right.
There's an article on USA Today written by Susan Tompor from the Detroit Free Press personal finance section.
I'm kind of like, that was really journalistic radio, but really, attributing USA Today and someone from the Detroit Free Press, you might as well say, I found this thing in one of the comments on BuzzFeed. You know?
Okay.
Are not journalistic. Yeah, but it is, and it was good. But I'm just pointing out, like, you know, I don't think those are very valid sources. But even so, larger than the fact that there's an article, there's a phenomenon where people call, scammers call people and pretend to be the IRS and try to get money out of them. This is really sad, too, because I think about the people that probably get scammed by this, and they're probably old, a lot of them.
Yeah, it was saying college students and seniors are the ones that are most likely to actually...
College students, because college students now don't know how the world works.
Right.
And high school no longer teaches you. And not that public school was ever good, but... I mean, I remember, I went to a private school, but it was very much like public school. It was just like a better public school. But I remember, we had a class where they sat us down and taught us how to balance a checkbook. And, you know, they told us, and then I went to college I took a class in college called Job Prep, and it showed you how to write a business letter, and it showed you how to correctly address an envelope, and it told you how to write a resume and things that, mm-hmm. like, no, kids don't learn that in school anymore. They right. learn how to fill out, you know, unemployment forms and welfare forms, and why they should vote against, you know, other tyrants for special tyrants. But
right.
So I find it really I have to, like, just be amused by this, because otherwise I'm kind of horrified that, like, old people get sucked into this. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that college students do too, but I'm kind of also not surprised too, because college is kind of weird in that you're thrown into the world, everything's paid for with most people, but all of a sudden you have freedom, but you're not having to pay money for the freedom, you know? So I think a lot of people at college, you know, I think there's this attitude of, like, people in college kind of have this, this, like, you know, life without consequences view of the world. But I think also, I think a lot of people in college kind of have guilt. And I'm not talking about white guilt. I'm just talking about, like, the guilt that they're going to do something wrong because they're suddenly in the world and don't really know how to navigate it. And
right.
I mean, if somebody called me and said, you know, you owe money to the government, I wouldn't fall for it. But yeah. I'm kind of thinking that in college, I don't know that I would have fallen for it, but I would have been more likely than I am now. First of all, I wouldn't have had any money to give them. But the thing that I find really funny about this too is that, you know, they can't say, okay, send us a check to this address, because then the people would be able to be caught because they have a bank account associated with it. Right. Read some of the things that they ask people to send the payment in. I found that pretty funny.
Well, iTunes cards, for one.
iTunes cards. The government yeah. would not ask you for iTunes cards. What else?
Yeah. Target gift cards. yeah. Prepaid debit cards.
Wow.
Wire transfers. Western Union payments.
Wow.
Yeah. And in order to avoid being immediately arrested, send them one of these things.
You know, I'm not defending the government. The government is horrible and the IRS is horrible, but they certainly don't send the local police. They have their own police.
Right.
And they certainly don't send them over after two dunning payments. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean that's what they said on the call, and I was just like, this is ridiculous, especially given the fact that they used cops. They used the
yeah.
cops as opposed
yeah,
to
cops.
The local police.
Yeah, they wouldn't say whatever, cops.
You know. Yeah, exactly. But I'm thinking that they thought that maybe that would make it sound more, like, scary. Or something. The cops are coming to get you.
Yeah,
kind of thing,
you know, I've noticed somebody else, another class of scum that steal the government guns. So there's not as much snail mail spam as there used to be, like junk mm-hmm. mail.
Right.
Although I've heard that junk mail is the only thing keeping the U.S. Post Office going. I mean, other than the fact that they get bailouts from the. They get yeah. bailouts to pay for the pensions. You know, and people that love the government love to trot out the post office doesn't take any tax money and they totally fund themselves. That's sort of true, but it's not true of the pension. So the huge pensions that post office people get, like, you can retire at the post office at, like, 46 and get, like, you know, over 50% of what you got as a paycheck until you die of old age.
Yeah.
And actually what they've been doing too is paying people to retire early. I had a friend who was, like, 39 and worked at the post office since he was, like, 19. And, you know, they paid him to retire early and not take his pension. They paid him, like, $100,000 to just retire early and not take a pension.
Wow.
Just because that is more advantageous to them. But
right, I'm sure.
Yeah, so what I've noticed more and more with snail mail is they try to make it look like it's from the government, so you'll open it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like, they use yeah. that brutalist
that,
font.
Yeah.
I forget the brutalist font.
The brutalist
I think it's Arial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. all caps Arial. And
right.
sometimes they'll rent a mail drop in Washington, D.C., you know, and and it says, like, open immediately. And a really tricky, sleazy thing is they put next to the stamp, you know, they have, no, it's not a lick and pay stamp, it's a postal meter stamp, but they put, like, mm-hmm. In the postal meter, like, their postal meter is set up to add text that says something like, you know, violation for misuse of federal postage, you know, 10 years in prison and $100,000 fine. And at first glance, it looks, that makes it look more official. They're just putting some obscure, you know, some law about postage, but that's like the bigger than, you know, the return address or something. And they're just trying to scare you. And it really annoys me. I wish there were a new, a do not mail list for mail, because, it's weird, too. You think about it, like, you know, the mailmen do trudge through rain, sleet, and dark of night to get your mail to you. And about a third of the time I go to my mailbox, it's all junk mail. I mean, and it's full of junk mail. It's like mailers from local car dealerships and just horrible crap.
The coupon booklets and thing, or like, I don't know.
Or they send you a key for a car. Like, here's the key to your car. Pick it up tomorrow. And it's like, you know, a metal key that doesn't fit anything. And it's just to make you think you've won something. And you go down there and they're like, oh, you have no job and you're unemployed and you owe $1 million. Here, have a car, you know, because they'll give credit to anybody now.
I pretty much hate checking my mail. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even have my mail forwarded from my last
That's funny.
I'm just kind of hoping that that I didn't, you know, that somebody doesn't send me a check. Sometimes I get money, like, out of the blue. Like, oh, you paid us too much. And it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't recommend contacting the government or going to government websites if you can help it. But there's actually a government website that's like, are you owed money? And it's pretty bizarre. Like, I think we found at one point that my wife was owed, you know, $200 back taxes from a tax return from California from, you know, 15 years ago. And we got it. I mean, it's bizarre. Yeah, because there are laws in a lot of state, and there are federal laws that if money is owed in certain situations, including tax, it has to go to this site first, and you can just search with your Social Security number. And, you know, I know other people that have gotten larger amounts than that for things, and it's also like for inheritances. And make sure you're on the government site, though, because there's a bunch of scam sites that look like those sites. But that's worth going to. And I kind of feel like the do not call list is worth signing up for. It does reduce the number. Are you on that?
I mean, the real scammers
don't honor it, but a lot of other companies do. And, you know, there's a funny workaround with that, too, is that anybody you've done business with in the past either 12 or 18 months can contact you once, even if you're on the do not call list. And, you know, the idea of doing business with, too, can include, like, you know, bought a guitar pick on Amazon and then forgot about it, you know. So I've gotten calls from people that I've, quote unquote, done business with. But I don't know. I feel like the answer to a lot of this stuff is technology. And I mean, for instance, the phones we have now have a really good spam blocking system. Like, if someone calls you, you don't want to hear from that number again. You just add it to something. Like, that used to cost money, like on landlines. Mm-hmm. It was like $5 a month to block stuff and meow. And I remember, like, my wife had to get rid of a phone because someone kept calling her and thought it was someone else's number. So she had to change her number. Like, now you can just block the person.
Yeah.
It's getting better. Technology is better advanced than law for most things.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah?
That's where it took place. It was there.
And we can't talk about that on the radio, though.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know who might be listening.
Yeah. They might steal your soul through the airwaves. Because that can happen, you know. People can do that. All right. right. So we found that, speaking of the IRS and how horrible they are, and you know what's funny? Like, everyone hates the IRS, but they put up with it. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, most people do. But
apparently people with Bitcoin don't. You know, the thing is, too, like, people say, well, what are you going to do? And, you know, I file taxes and grit my teeth about it. I'm not proud of it. But apparently not everyone using Bitcoin does. So Bitcoin there's millions and millions and millions of people using it. And what's this headline on Yahoo Finance say?
Only 802 people told the IRS about Bitcoin.
802. I mean, I think I've seen 802 people ask on forums whether or not they need to do this. I mean, that's only a slight exaggeration. Mm-hmm. That is such a tiny, 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 tiny percentage of the people that use Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Man, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Tell me more. Read a little bit of this. It's funny.
Yeah, so the Internal Revenue Service revealed new details about its investigation into tax evasion related to Bitcoin, filing court documents that suggest only a tiny percentage of virtual currency owners are reporting profits or losses in their annual returns. The new documents.
I wonder if the 802 people that actually did it are only reporting losses too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. The new documents filed Thursday in San Francisco federal court come in the midst of a closely watched legal fight between the IRS and Coinbase.
Coinbase.
A popular service for buying and selling Bitcoin.
A creepy service.
Bitcoins that hosts over a million customer accounts. A million customer accounts Coinbase has.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Coinbase? So Coinbase, I tried to sign up for Coinbase one time. I don't like them because they're...
I don't use them.
They're creepy. A lot of people lose their money on there. It's easy to get ripped off from there. First of all, you should never keep any large amount of money on an exchange. You should keep it on your own.
Right.
In your own secret words. Well, magic words. We'll talk about that in a bit. But Yeah, I filed things at San Francisco court. What court was this? Yeah, when I was a bike messenger, I used to go file things there all the time.
Hmm.
But, Coinbase is creepy because didn't they, like freeze the Ross Ulbricht defense account? Yeah, they also, you know what we did not talk about on that? I don't think I was on that. But what they don't talk about that is that Coinbase has also frozen particular individuals' accounts for contributing to WikiLeaks. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Creepy. Yeah.
I think I've heard that. Yeah. But I mean, but Ross Ulbricht, for anybody listening that didn't already know about the Ross Ulbricht, that Coinbase freezing his accounts, they unfroze them.
I know. His mom, Lynn, spoke at Fiendfest Somalia at the Michigan Peace and Liberty Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest this week, which is still going on winding down, and people are driving back from it, which is why Jeremy is not on the show tonight. He's usually on the show. But, so I don't know what there is more to say about that other than that, you know, it kind of points out to what Nima said to me. Like, a lot of people, when they get in Liberty, when they're, you know, one of the steps people take to get to full on voluntarists like us is often, you know, a little quick stop at constitutionalism, and we're going to polish our rifles and get back. I mean, we like guns, but I don't think that guns are going to stop the government. You know, they have all the guns. You know, they can kill you and get away with it.
Right.
But really, like, I think technology is slowly going to make government far less relevant, to where, you know, in 10 years, as Nima Vedati said, it's going to be like MySpace, you know, 300 million users and no one's checked in for 8 years.
Right.
300 million registered users and no one checks in anymore. I still have an account on MySpace. I actually checked that a while back, but
I'm not sure I ever did. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the... we'll talk about the magic words, the Bitcoin magic words.
I am so excited about that. I think I actually have some magic words too, come to think of it.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah.
That's what Ben Stone calls them. We'll talk about magic words when you get back. They're not the kind that gets you out of, you know, it's not the kind you can say in court. Those don't work. The only magic words that work with police are Am I free to go? Am I being detained? I do not consent to a search. Thank you and good day. Or you can just flip them off and take pictures of it like Virgil. You seen those pictures? Virgil posted one today. He does it all the time. I don't have those kind of cojones.
Yeah, he's got cojones for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOTNOT.org. And you know, I think what the problem with the music sounding so weird is I think that the cuss dump is being built while the music's going. The cuss dump's not supposed to be built until now. And
gotcha.
You know, I hate to point that out, but otherwise people think like I'm doing something wrong, and I'm pointing it out so people can learn and also, because I'll think you're doing anything wrong. Yeah, I don't want to forget to tell the board op during the. But yeah, that's supposed to be built.
Board op.
That's supposed to be built like as soon as the music's done and it's just us talking. That's why like Free Talk Live never puts a caller on, even if they're carried over from the previous segment, until after the music's out and until they talk for like 20 seconds, because it takes 20 seconds to build the cuss dump, and you don't build it until the music's out, because it sounds really weird on music. Same thing with unbuilding it, too. Like, you're not supposed to unbuild it until you're into the ads. Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And, you know, there's actually one that says, alternately, rarely used. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live from the amygdala of liberty. We activate your mirror neurons, but the spooky sounds of a serotonin splash at a distance. Wow. I don't know who wrote that. But so the 12 magic words. So deterministic wallets are Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency wallets where you can use magic words. Talk about magic words. What's your experience with magic words?
I just have some. I have some magic words. Yeah.
Words. Yeah. And they're deterministic password. I'm looking this up to make sure I said it right, because what are the pros and cons of deterministic person?
Yeah, just another level of security.
Well, it's actually a level. It's not necessarily another level of security. It's a way of remembering a password to not lose it. So, is that it? Is that what it's called? Deterministic words. Is that it? Words. 12 words. Yeah. Okay. So it's basically.
I didn't even realize that's what you were talking about until we started the show. So.
Yeah. I was looking up to make sure I'm right, but so there used to be some that were 20, and now they got it down to 12 words. Where a Bitcoin. Not just password, but the ability to reproduce the wallet can be stored as 12 words.
Right.
You know that's not just a password, right? Like, you could throw your computer that has your Bitcoin down a well right now, and you could sit down another computer and recover that Bitcoin. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like, boy, that's too few words, and there's too many people would want to try to steal that. And aren't there people sitting around just typing those in all day? Well, probably, but
It would take them forever to get the right combination in the right order. Yeah.
Right. So Here's my idea. We did a discussion the other day about how, you know, governments have begun seizing Bitcoin at borders. You know, like if you've got more than $10,000 in Bitcoin and you're leaving the country, fleeing the country, or even going on vacation, they won't let you take it out and they'll confiscate it. Mm-hmm. So I thought of the best way ever to hide this. Now, I actually wrote an article on the BIPcoin.org site, not Bitcoin, but BIPcoin.org site, called Ugly Paper Wallets. And I discussed a way, and I actually made some test ones with BIPcoin, where, because a paper wallet can be like it's a QR code on a piece of paper, but they most of the ones people make, they make really pretty, and they, you know, put the Bitcoin symbol on them, and they make them look like paper
super
wallets.
Obvious.
Like,
yeah.
So I actually started making really bad clip art that looked like punk rock flyers from the early 90s, like Xerox black and white, that had a QR code hidden in them. And it was actually pretty easy to do because it was pretty common in the early 90s and late 80s for punk rock art, like posters and record cover inserts, like Dead Kennedys, a lot of artwork had barcodes in them because, you know, they were talking about like kind of the depersonalization of the world and capitalism spreading and things they thought was bad. And so if you actually put a bunch of QR codes or a couple QR codes and a bunch of barcodes, they look different, but they look close enough that, like, if you put a bunch of other clip art from magazines in with them and then make a, you know, make it a poster for like a fake poetry reading or something. Like I basically, the idea was I made some of these that worked and I put like 2 cents worth of Bitcoin in the wallets and did an article on them. And they're pretty cool because they all look like, I mean, you could hide this in a stack of old letters and old papers. And I'm pretty sure that anybody from TSA, you know, looking through these, or any government, any border, I'm pretty sure that the people looking through them wouldn't know what they were. And I'm pretty sure that also, you know, if someone broke into your house and they saw one of these framed on the wall, they wouldn't take it. I think they'd take your wallet and your TV and leave this. And I think that, you know, in a divorce where the spouse takes all of your assets, you know, I don't think they'd realize that this is a Bitcoin wallet. But I thought of a better way. A much better way that's really funny is hiding your magic words as the first word or something like this. Not necessarily this, but the first word of the 12 chapters of a book you publish on Kindle. So you get your 12 words, you do an update, you know, you just write a publish, you know, so you have some bad poetry and you just put out, you make a book of your poetry or even someone, now you can't use someone else's poetry to do this, but, you know, have your poems, and publish like a little book on Amazon, on Kindle. And, you know, like, let's say one, your first wallet words is, you know, popcorn or something. So the first poem is going to be called like Popcorn Shrimp with My Loved One. And the second one, like the first word of every chapter is the 12 words. You just upload it to Kindle, you leave the country, and then you just, you know, open your Kindle account in the other country, buy a copy of your book, and you have it.
That's, good idea.
And I'm not going to say that that's true with the Kindle edition of User's Manual for the Human Experience, but I'm not going to say it's not true. Might sell some books there, but, you know, you could also use it with anything. You could have, you know, page 33, you know, the first 12, the first word of the first sentence of, you know, the first 12 paragraphs or sentences on the page, you know, anything like that that you could remember, you could hide it in plain sight, especially under the guise of poetry, because then it wouldn't really have to make sense. And you could really easily travel anywhere in the world and, you know, like not just across borders, like you could hide it. You could have it up for years on Amazon and retrieve it anytime you wanted. So there's a suggestion.
It's a good one.
Try to find interesting ways to do it, though, other than what I just said. You know, not necessarily the first word of each chapter. but
right.
something you can remember and something you could tell a trusted loved one in case something happened to you. Because did you know that something like 0.5% of all Bitcoin is lost? And a lot of it is from people losing.
I'm surprised it's that low, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of it is from people losing passwords, but also yeah. some of it is from people dying and not giving their password to somebody. So actually part of the inflation that's built into Ethereum is to account for that eventuality. I think that's kind of funny. I like it. I like Ethereum. I like Ethereum. I like Ethereum Classic better than Ethereum because you know what happened with that whole thing about the DAO?
You know, I mean, I had read about it, heard some stuff about it, but I didn't really commit it to memory.
Really short story is like, okay, yeah. Ethereum is this cryptocurrency that's designed. It's one of the, I think it's the top second one or in the mm-hmm. top, both of them yeah, are in the top 10. There's two now. So basically, so it allows to do allows people to like basically write programs on it in the form of there's a programming language for it, and it allows people to write smart contracts, which, you know, the simplest one would be like, I'm putting Ethereum in this, pay it out to this single address at this date or at this certain blockchain height. That's really easy to do, but you can do much more complicated ones than that. And people are using them for, you know, investment and building companies. And there was this early on, there's this one called the DAO, and it basically was poorly written or poorly thought out, and somebody figured out a way to write a child contract on it that paid a bunch of the money out to him, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, there was this big split in the Bitcoin community. A lot of people, or in the Ethereum community, a lot of people wanted to, like, do a hard fork and basically reverse the blockchain, so that never happened. And there were a lot of people who did not want and said that violates, you know, the idea of the immutability of the blockchain, of a blockchain, which is really right. part of the promise of it, is that it cannot be changed. But, you know, it can be changed if everyone agrees to change it, or if, you know, some percentage of the people agree to basically made a new coin called Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And the old coin kept the old blockchain with this, you know, I wouldn't even call it a scam, just this contract that took money out, you know, from someone that wasn't originally intended to have it, left it in. Ethereum Classic has that in. And I think that Ethereum Classic is the one with the integrity, you know?
Yeah.
Although the one that made the change is actually the bigger one. Just, I don't know. I just feel like if your plan is to just change it whenever something goes wrong to cover up the mistakes of people using it, I think you're, I don't think that's really in keeping with the beauty of blockchains. You know, it makes it more like a bank. Like a bank can reverse a transaction. It shouldn't be able to be done
right.
on a blockchain.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because yep. otherwise you're just being a bank and you're being centralized. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to Ethereum Classic. Meow.
Yeah.
Gots to get me some. Yeah. Warmth. Uh-huh. Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah, I saw a cat eat a tomato, which
wow.
I found that to be fascinating.
Was it skinny? Was it starving?
I mean, yeah, I think the cats pretty much eat what they can get there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
Aren't tomatoes bad for cats? I know onions are and garlic.
I don't know. All I know is
which is why I won't let him eat the Pringles because it has both.
I was watching this woman prepare a meal for us, and she's kind of throwing scraps on the ground. And of course, you know, if she threw any kind of fish thing, the, you know, the cat was all over, but, like, actually was dragging away scraps of tomatoes and things like that.
Maybe they smelled like fish.
Yeah, possibly. But
can you say that on radio? Okay.
What,
let's talk about the CIA.
Like fish?
Yeah. Fish smells like fish.
Let's talk about the CIA.
No, and they're horrible.
I know, this article just makes me laugh, though.
You know, that's who really runs the country, America.
Yeah, it's,
it is.
Yeah,
they're the shadow government, them and the NSA.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so in the New York Times, says article, CIA chief, intel leaks on the rise, cites leaker worship.
I took a leaker between the ads.
I know you did. Yeah.
Do you worship
sure
me?
I'm sure many worship you.
For being a leaker. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm not a big human being worshiper.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. So yeah, okay, so the article is CIA Director Mike Pompeo. Is that how you say his name? I don't really listen to the news.
Who cares? It's a CIA guy. You don't have to say it right.
Says he thinks disclosure of America's secret intelligence is on the rise, fueled partly by the worship of leakers like Edward Snowden. And this is what I think is really funny. Just him talking about it. In some ways, I do think it's accelerated, Pompeo told MSNBC. I think there is a phenomenon, the worship of Edward Snowden and those who steal American secrets for the purpose of self-aggrandizement or money, or whatever their motivation might be, does seem to be.
What about the people that do it anonymously, not making money, too? There's a lot of that. He's wrong.
And this I find even more hilarious. It's tough. You now have not only nation states trying to steal our stuff. They're trying to steal our stuff. But non-state hostile intelligence services, well-funded, folks like WikiLeaks, out there trying to steal American secrets for the sole purpose of undermining the United States and democracy.
Democracy. Yeah, democracy. This is coming from CIA. The organization that has probably killed more democratically elected leaders than anyone else in the world in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
They don't like democracy if it doesn't serve their purposes. They love it when it does. But, in Iran, they overthrew a democratically elected leader in the late 70s and installed, a Shah and an Ayatollah who were horrible people who were not. They're very far less into freedom and democracy than the person they got rid of.
Yeah. I mean, nothing that any of them have done, any of these people, the ABC departments and things like
alphabet
that.
Alphabet soup have agencies.
I couldn't think of what that's called, the alphabet soup. Alphabet soup agencies have done nothing really to help people. I mean, in any way, shape, or form. I mean, all they've done is just make things worse. Really, they just contribute to the continued downfall of civilization.
Yep. I don't disagree that with him about that there is a worship of people who, because these are the new heroes, man. I mean, you think about what they stand to lose, and they don't have a lot to gain. They just basically, a lot of them seem driven by, a love of actual freedom. And in the case of Edward Snowden, he considered himself a patriot and a proud American, and he felt that what he was doing was the patriotic, proud American thing
to
do. And I don't disagree at all. But, another reason there's so much more leaking is, first of all, it's a lot easier than it used to be. Like you think about one of the classic leaks in my life was the Nixon administration, the Washington Post articles that led to, back when the Washington Post was, a journalistic thing, before it was fake news, the Woodward and Bernstein dudes who basically got the president fired or got him to quit. It's really funny what they got him to quit with, too. It was revealing that his people, he'd authorized the tapping of an office with, 20 people in it. Something that the CIA does to every citizen in America all day long, every day. But through the NSA. But, people like them leakers, and we'll talk about it after I go take a leaker and we go to the free market. Worms!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
One more thing. I got one more thing about why there's so much leaking. It's because there's so much spying. Really.
Yeah, 1.5%
of the American population has a security clearance. Mm-hmm. 5.1 million people in America have clearance, either confidential secret mm-hmm. or top secret, for government documents. Mm-hmm. You're never going to keep it all in-house with that many people. No. Yeah. No. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's surprising that that many people do.
So stop spying. You won't have so much leaking. Oh, and stop, also, like, stop doing so many things worth leaking, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the first modern...
Stop being so evil. Stop being evil. Try that.
The first link that WikiLeaks really got famous for was leaking the video called Collateral Murder, which was... a video made from a helicopter in Iraq or Afghanistan. I don't remember which. I think Iraq. It was back in the day. And it was a bunch of U.S. soldiers mowing down with a 50 cal machine gun a bunch of civilians and laughing about it. That should be leaked. You know, and people say, like, you hate America. You hate America. Why are you, you know, like, no. If you love America, you shouldn't leak that. I mean, you shouldn't leak that. You shouldn't do that. You know, I would say, like, you know, if America wants to be respected, and again, like, I don't believe, and we don't believe, well, I don't believe, I don't want to mouse pocket you, but you can say whether you believe this or not. I think you do, but I don't believe that, I don't believe in America. And, like, we just got kicked off some stations, but basically what I mean by that is, I don't believe the my country right or wrong mentality that ends up with... you know, America blowing up wedding parties and saying, well, you got to break some omelets to make some eggs. Break some omelets to make some eggs. Is that the show title?
All right. Yeah, maybe.
Got to break some omelets. Break some omelets to make some eggs. All right. It's yet a topic. Omelets. Well, do you agree with that? You don't.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't believe in America.
I don't. No, definitely not. I'm not in the least bit. I mean, I was at one point in my life pretty patriotic, I would say. No longer. It's just, I mean, it's just another country. It's not the greatest country in the world. Whatever. Every country thinks they're the greatest country in the world. What makes you saying it right? As opposed to someone else.
And every kid is taught in school, or at least were for a long time, that their country is the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just jingoism.
Ooh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Jingoism and ethnocentrism and nationalism and patriotism and other cancers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're religious, you're putting God... You're kicking God off the throne when believe in those
and
things.
And it's just an us versus them mentality.
And if you're not religious, you're just being a coward. You're saying, you know, it kind of reminds me, patriotism reminds me a lot of people who are really out of shape who, you know, would collapse running 100 feet, who sit and watch football and cheer it on while eating junk food and talk about our team.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know.
It's tribalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You had something else you wanted to say. What do you want to say?
About this whole WikiLeaks and all that kind of thing. Was the WikiLeaks one that you were just talking about, was that was the one that Chelsea Manning, like, provided, right?
Well, I'll look it up. I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, because they mentioned her in this article too. So, and a lot of people out there, including a lot of people I've noticed on Facebook, have an issue with someone calling Chelsea Manning her.
So. Yeah. You know what's funny?
And I'm just like, why? Why does that bother you so much?
I have a little bit of, I have a little problem sometimes calling people by a chosen pronoun that does not match their birth pronoun, but not with Chelsea Manning. She earned it. Oh man, okay. we didn't lose any stations. We just gained some, but I don't know. I think we lost some no matter what with that one. Yeah, like I can't imagine how the average like left right paradigm person would even process that statement.
Would there be very many left paradigm people listening to this show? Or listening
probably only if they're taking notes on who to boycott.
Right.
That's who listens. That's yes. The when the left listens to right wing radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you search right wing, we're not right wing.
If you search just boycott Rush Limbaugh, you know what? A couple of the stations we're on, I got the number for the station by looking at the boycott Rush Limbaugh website because that has the phone number of the station manager, pretty much every station in America. And a lot of those numbers are not listed and they're not easy to find.
Wow.
But, you know, that's how I found some of them and called them up and said, hey, put on the Freedom Fiends. We're weird. We love freedom. Yeah.
So, yeah, what were we going to talk about next?
You had something important to say. Oh, well, we talked about the 12 words. We talked about the magic words, the 800 people who reported Bitcoin.
How the rise of the iPhone is worrying the Fed.
Oh, yeah. Read some of that. That one's good.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You know, this just gets back to freedom's not going to come from shooting people. It's not going to come from that kind of revolution. It's going to come, although it's good to own guns because if nothing else, they're good for, you know, keeping leftists out of your house when they try to break in to steal things because they can't hold a job because they don't want to, right. Some of them. But, yeah, the real change is going to come from just government becoming less and less relevant. Able to be relevant to people, and they're like the dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits as it's going extinct. Like governments are getting more and more upset. You know, I'm actually kind of surprised the head of the CIA gave an interview where he basically admitted that people worship leakers. I think he's admitting almost defeat in saying that. Mm-hmm. And for an agency based entirely on secrecy and lies, you know, I mean, and I'm not insulting them. They wouldn't take that as an insult. They like, yeah, we're really good at secrecy and lies. I'm pretty surprised he was so truthful about that.
Right. Just like out there. Yeah. And I mean, what I love about this show is how so far about this show is that we're highlighting, you know, even from the beginning of talking about, you know,
we're laughing while Western civilization collapses.
Exactly. Yeah. You know that. Yeah. Like just talking about the, you know, how, you know, we know what you're doing, you know, government, we know you're trying to put, you know, you're trying to make us afraid and you're trying more and more to make us even more and more afraid because like you said, they're the dinosaur thrashing in the tar pit, you know, bellowing and, you know, just like trying to like intimidate us while we're like going, ha ha, you know, that was better than mine. But, so this one is where they're afraid of iPhones now. They're admitting that they're a little worried about us using iPhones and other smartphones because
why?
Because they can't really keep up with what we're doing.
Basically. Well, for one thing, because you can talk encrypted.
Yeah.
On iPhones and I mean, think about that. Like in the 70s, and you know, some of the encryption that's widely used, including in Bitcoin, was invented by the United States government. I think, particularly the CIA. I think SHA-256 or maybe 512 was invented by. I'll look that up while you read some of this article. But you know, basically, like you know, in our phones, we now have secure systems that in the 70s only the government had, and ours work better now than what the government had then.
Yeah, well, what they're more concerned about with our use of smartphones is how we're able to use them to purchase things online. And
why is that upset them?
So what it has done is retailers and everything like Amazon, they keep prices low, therefore affecting the overall inflation rate. of the U.S. So they're unhappy that the inflation is not has not increased the way that they want it to.
They're unhappy and they admit this?
Yes, absolutely. Man. They do. Yeah,
they're really leaking. Do.
I mean,
the CIA is leaking. The government is leaking now.
Well, your average person would read this, and this is a paragraph that I'm referencing. It says, "Okay, so in the meantime, and so they're talking about the technological shift toward, you know, making purchases by low-cost retailers and everything online. In the meantime, this technological shift will likely persist, making it difficult for inflation to meet the Fed's 2% target." Which policymakers deem optimal to support stable economic growth. So the average person would read that and go, that's too bad. You know?
Pass the bong, like, dude. Pass the bong I bought online, dude, for very little money that works really well, dude.
Right. So you've contributed to keeping inflation like low or lower than what the Fed wants.
Yeah.
So I just thought that. I just read that article going, wow, they're just admitting that. Like right there. So, yeah.
Government's so square.
They really are. And, yeah. And
another reason they hate us. We are the enemy. The people are the enemy.
People are the governments. Enemy. Absolutely. Yeah.
And especially to cops. Cops are trained to look at everyone as the enemy. And a lot of people become cops now. You have a lot less of the, like, kindly old cops that would let you off on a traffic ticket and just give you a warning like 20 years ago because a lot of cops now are ex-military, you know, and they go from, like, just going door-to-door and searching people's houses in Fallujah to policing, quote-unquote, the streets in America. And they have that attitude of everyone's out to get them. Everyone wants to kill them. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of mine sent me a video the other day. I told him to post it on YouTube and I'd talk about it, but I don't think he's posted it on YouTube yet. But it's a really awesome video someone sent me of him filming the police. I mean, he's basically standing, I think he's standing on the street in front of a police department filming the street, filming the police department building. And not, I don't think he's even interacting with police officers. I think he's just filming the building. And he filmed a cop coming out to tell him, you need to stop filming. And the guy's like, it's not illegal to film here. And the cop said something like, we've had personal threats against particular officers' lives. So the fact that you're out here filming makes us look at you as a threat. What puss-pusses, man? Like, these are people that carry guns, that can beat up anyone and get away with it. They can kill people and get away with it. And they're afraid of a guy with a camera.
I know. Yeah.
But the other reason, real quick, the other reason government doesn't like things like Amazon is because it makes it so you don't need, like, consumer protection agencies from the government because people can rate each other.
Right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yep. All right, so I'd like to thank the NSA for help making Bitcoin possible, because I looked it up, and the group of encryption protocols called SHA-2, of which SHA-256 is a member of that tree, was created by the National Security Agency. And, you know, that's required for Bitcoin. It's used in the mining of Bitcoin and the creation of Bitcoin addresses. So, thanks, government. And it's funny that government makes it and can't break it yet. They're working on it.
Right.
So. But actually, Bitcoin could still work. I read that they could do a hard fork overnight, and I'm sure everyone would agree to this and do it, unlike the hard fork, the forks they're trying to get people to do now.
Right.
They could just bump it up to SHA-512 And, you know, overnight it would be a lot more than twice as hard to, you know, the thing is too with Bitcoin, if you create a different address for every transaction, like it was originally intended for you to use, it would still be almost unbreakable, even if quantum computing made it possible to power through and, you know, reverse a transaction, because you'd only have like an hour, like 2 hours tops to crack it, because the public key wouldn't be broadcast until you make the transaction. And then within six confirmations, within six blocks, which is about 2 hours, no, 10 minutes, no, it's an hour, right? Bitcoin block's 10 minutes. So it would only have an hour to break it within, because within, the way the blockchains,
though, I think.
The way the blockchains work is, to reverse a transaction or double spend, you have to reverse everything on the blockchain since it happened. So you'd have to reverse, right, like all of the blocks to be able to do that. Yeah, well, it's not just getting slower, it's they're getting more full.
Right.
Yeah, there's it's taking longer for things to confirm, because there's more, you know, you don't usually get confirmed in the first block like you used to. All right, so we had a couple other things to talk about. Tesla driver killed while using Tesla car, and this is not the first one, but it's pretty bizarre. And they said there was one that happened a year ago, and they said that the driver was watching Harry Potter while it happened.
This is the one actually that I sent.
But this one this week, yeah. This week? Okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't. No, I actually.
You sent me one from a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I apologize. Yeah.
But somebody died in one this week. And they said that, okay, so when you're in this, in the autopilot mode in Tesla, you're supposed to be only do it on particular kinds of roads. You're only supposed to do it if your hands are on the wheel ready to take over. And they said that he did not, you know, the footage shows that he did not have the, or the stats, the sensors show that he did not have his hand on the wheel, and he ignored like six visual commands and seven computer spoken demands to take over the wheel. You know what I'm thinking? Like, I'm not saying Tesla would do this, but what if that's just the story? Like, what if the computers made up that story? Like, what if the computer really messed it up and it has artificial intelligence and it's like, okay, I got to cover my big shiny metal butt. I'm just going to say, you know, like, who knows?
Yeah, I'm not finding the one recently. I mean, I put in self-driving.
The computer scrubbed it.
Maybe.
From the internet.
Maybe. Yeah. Self-driving car death. That's what I put in there. And all it did was bring up the one from last year.
So real quick, one more thing.
Yeah.
You got one more on this? Go ahead.
Oh, it's just there was one earlier this year that was a self-driving Uber car, but no one died. It was just still a high-speed crash.
Yeah. So I heard that one thing they have to do to make self-driving cars work is improve the paint and the frequency of painting the lines on the road, because part of how they navigate is seeing the lines on the road. In a lot of places, they can't. They're so, you know, old and dull.
That's a flaw in the system.
maybe that's how the roads will get fixed without the government, is Tesla will fix them so the self-driving cars will work. But real quick, so the president, Trump, said last week, that he wanted to pass a law that nobody who's an immigrant to America could get welfare for 5 years. And turns out that's been the law for 20 years. So what I say is, how are we expected to know the law when the president and police don't know the laws?
Exactly.
Too many of them.
Yeah, that would be my question. But I thought that was hilarious. Like, I could just hear him saying it. And it's just like, people are looking at each other like, well, but probably the supporters are like, right, Trump, you know. And it's just like, that's kind of already a law.
Kind of already a law. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's been a really good show.
Worms.
Sure. Yeah.
Worms.
We don't like government. Yep. I don't know if you guys can tell that or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's square, and the world could work without it. Amazon, Google, and Tesla, and you, the listener.